Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and this is the Monday Morning Podcast. No, you know what? It isn't. It actually isn't. This is a very special episode of the Monday Morning Podcast. Ever since we got the wonderful All Things Comedy Studios over here in the middle of fucking nowhere, every once in a while I like to have a high-powered Hollywood celebrity. I started off with the always lovely Dave Koechner, and hitting in the two spot, we got the one and only Jay Mohrs.
Jay Mohrs is legendary.
I actually was going to try to do your Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, Bill Burr. His middle name is Frederick because he got pregnant. That's why they named him William Frederick Burr, because he was going to be president, goddammit. I got a man pregnant.
Do you know I listen to your radio show all the time?
I hope so. It's fun.
I have a...
By the way, I could see in your eye, it pains you just to do that intro. It's great to watch Bill Burr just saying all things, like just to have a semi-corporate weave through.
I was trying to... Do I bring up Dave Koechner's name and then say your name? Will that piss you off? Do I pipe this?
Nothing bothers me,
Did I
Bill
fuck
Burr.
It up with that?
Why? Because you sent me to Glendale? I'm supposed to have a red ass when I come in here? What do I care?
It's not Glendale. I don't know where this is.
I know, but the directions
said Glendale. iPhone took me there. This is right here. You're the last.
This is right here.
Horrific 45 minutes of your life where you're pretending like you didn't scream at the windshield and call me every name in the book.
I didn't.
You
I
looked
don't care.
Away. You looked away when you said no. I understand it.
Look, you're not. What are you, the closer now? I don't really care. Do you swear on this?
I'm just saying that this is why I try not to have guests, because it just becomes a fucking nightmare.
It's fun, though. I like talking to you. Okay. And, you know, we always have a good time when we sit and talk and more stories.
We have a great time.
We have a good time, me and Bill Burr.
We were debating doing this whole thing in a very annoying Boston accent the entire time.
No, sir. You and Jay Mohr?
Yeah, dude.
What
fucking
has he ever
Bruins
done?
Versus the Leafs at 4.
4 o'clock. Bruins versus the Leafs. I got to move my cots downstairs on
6.
Dorchester and Sydney Street.
That fucking pussy's coming back that we traded
for. Fuck him. Fuck him. Skates like a fucking ref, JJ.
He won't go in the corners.
He won't go in the corners. He's afraid he's going to get fucking boarded. How the fuck did you get out of the junior hockey league if you're afraid you're going to get boarded, you fucking pussy?
You know why?
Skate like a ref.
Because his fucking father owns the team.
Oh, his father, Shanty Irish, always putting on airs at Father's 2 on fucking Beacon Street. I remember that cock sucking. He was face down in front of the hopper.
You know what's funny is I can't even remember who the fuck I'm talking. I've been on the road so much that, like, I can't remember anybody's name. We traded the guy. We had him. He was Kessel.
He's good. Yeah, I like him.
He's great.
I like the Bruins a lot, too. It's a solid team.
Yeah, it is. Unless you watch them on the West Coast trip when they come down here and they go out and they party.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to come west. You go Vancouver, then you scoot down. You just keep scooting a little lower. San Jose.
Girls keep getting hotter as you're going down.
Yeah. It's brutal.
It's brutal.
I think it's hot in Vancouver. San Jose is a bit of a wash.
Yeah, but the thing about it is...
And then you come to L.A. and Anaheim, you're like, whoa, hockey what? Hockey
yeah,
who?
That's right. But even like Vancouver, you know, you walk out of the rink, you're all sweaty, you got to keep your head covered. It doesn't keep you in the, I want to go fuck somebody mood. You know what I mean? You get down here, you walk out of the rink in like a tank top.
It's halfway, beautiful out. I was like, we should be doing this in a park someplace.
Yeah, it is... I never thought, being an East Coast guy like myself, that I would actually love it out here. And I know that you are from the greater New Jersey area.
Yeah, right by the Meadowlands Giant Stadium, right in the shadows of that, in the leafy suburb. If it was like a murder show, if I got murdered, in the leafy suburbs of New Jersey.
A quiet town.
A Tony town called Verona. But this was no gentleman.
And people never lock their doors in those towns.
Never. And they say, I do a whole bit about it. Like, why? They must save so much time. Like, every day there's one guy early for work because he doesn't lock his fucking door. And I also say.
And then after the murder.
Yeah, you light up a room.
Everybody locks the doors.
And if you want people to say nice things about you, you really need to get murdered. Because they always say the same thing for women. White women, for those of you scoring at home on your scorecards, white women lead
scratch
the league
ticket
in getting murdered. Like, it's not even close. They're the fucking Ted Williamses. I've never seen a black lady on those shows. I've never seen a Latina. I've never seen
First 48.
Eskimo. I'm talking about like Dateline, like in a small town.
Oh, yeah.
Something was brewing at the Waffle House.
Well, they're going
for
ad
coffee.
They're going for ad money.
It's always a white lady named Pam. And when you die, they always get interviewed and they go, she really lit up a room. That's what
you
do when you die.
You sensed Pam before she even was in the room.
She never had I like this one. No one had anything bad to say about her. And I'm at home going, really? Because by my math, there's one guy. that had something so bad to say about Pam. Words didn't work. He needed a fucking shovel, a tent, and he needed a long drive to act out those words. My wife sent me a text about this podcast, by the way.
Oh, no. What did she say?
You'll like it. You know she's the funny one. What time will we be home? Yada, yada, yada. Remember, at the podcast, don't fuck up. And remember, if you are having fun, the audience can see you. Or some shit like that. Be lightning in a bottle and fill the podcast with levels of showmanship and sparkle that will take you to the atmosphere and beyond.
It's very, she a yoga teacher?
No, she's a fucking, she's like a pothead comic like us. She's just funny.
Oh, she's being sarcastic.
You didn't think I married a batshit crazy person?
I had no idea, dude. I never met your wife.
You had like a flash of panic in your eyes, like, oh my God, Jay Moore's married to Shelby Chung.
Yeah, it's like I can't make fun of that tech. If she was being
serious. No, she's being completely funny.
Oh, okay.
Be lightning in a bottle. Take your career in the podcast to the atmosphere and beyond.
Okay.
If you could see the audience, they're having a good time.
Yeah, I'm not the quickest guy, Jay.
You are quick. You did that Midwest tour, the Red State Flyover tour, the Republican tour.
This is going to be
big
about,
theaters.
I got to try to make this about you, though, Jay.
More Stories podcast on iTunes. Get the app. Do you have an app, Bill Burr?
No.
Monday Morning Podcast should have its own app, Bill Burr.
No, it shouldn't.
Fuck that. Work with friends.
Because then what happens is then it breaks down, and then you need something else, and then it's another fucking conference call. I am very happy to be in the bottom third of everything. Just drafting behind all you guys.
You're ahead of me. You're way ahead of me. I'm like in the 20s.
Only because I started before you.
Oh, no, sir. No, sir. What date you got coming up, Bill?
Wait a second.
No, I wanted about you.
Let's get back to New Jersey because I actually love New Jersey.
I do, too.
I love it. The food's great, and there's all these unbelievable neighborhoods. Every fucking douche who moves to New York, they go to Newark Airport, and they look at all those chemical plants, and then they go, this is New Jersey.
Yeah.
You know, and they might give it up to, and just above the bridge, meaning the George Washington Bridge, it's nice up there, but they just blow off the rest of the state.
Where I grew up was super, like, foresty and, like, Little League. Where they filmed The Sopranos, essentially my town, Verona, Nutley, Caldwell, like northern New Jersey.
Didn't they shoot Big out there? The bicycle scenes when he's riding up the street?
I don't know, but like Montclair is really beautiful. It is gorgeous, and it's great. And Jersey Shore is fun. I know like the show like made it.
That
I will say
that
this.
Ruined it.
It did, but when people say like the Jersey Shore was a bad representation of Italian Americans in Jersey, I'm like, I went to Jersey Public School. That's who whooped my ass every day. The situation was waiting for me. And for no reason. Like, it's not because I was running my mouth, which is what the listener would assume. It's just something. You probably went to public school in Boston. Sometimes
suburbs. Safe suburbs.
Safe suburbs?
Yep, safe
suburbs. Sometimes you go to school. It's just for no reason in your understanding. It's just your turn in the barrel that day. You show up and they go, hey, Matty Venezia is looking for you, man. You're like, what the fuck did I do? I'm like, I don't know, man. I think you looked at him when you're in the hallway. Then you got to fake like you have to take a shit 10 minutes before school ends, and then you just jog home.
I always tried to avoid. I fought up until like junior high, and then everybody like hit their growth spurt. You know, that kid who has the mustache in eighth grade. Yeah. So all of a sudden, I was like a full 6 inches shorter than the bigger kids who were running shit, and they had me by like 40 pounds. Like, I didn't break 100 pounds till like my freshman year of high school. I was really like.
I wrestled 105 pounds, and I didn't have to make weight. I had to go eat. So I didn't have to wrestle 98.
Oh,
so I was small like you.
Flakes and all that crap. That
peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah. So
can you imagine now what you know about nutrition? Wrestling after eating a fucking peanut butter and jelly sandwich. No wonder I sucked. You're out there just globbing peanut butter and burning glucose.
You know what blew my mind the other day when they had that whole thing on 60 Minutes about A-Rod and blah blah blah. He did this. He did that and all that crap. What really fascinated me about that was when the guy who's ratting him out now. Of course, his name Tony. I don't give a fuck what industry it is.
Hey, you got not for nothing.
You got to run into a Tony. The guy who rolls over is somehow Tony.
Tony.
It could be like.
And I like what he said. And
who
I said
plagiarized his children's book. This guy Tony. Tony's gonna roll over on everybody.
Hey, not for nothing, President. But you know, Spiro Agnew's been talking to Tony. I think we're gonna have to go with a different running mate next time around. Not for nothing. If you want to end the Vietnam War, you got to cut ties with Tony. That's all there is to it. Tony Bosch. And I like what he says. The first thing Alex Rodriguez said to me is, I want you to give me what you gave Manny Ramirez. And I'm like, really? He didn't fucking say hello, you idiot?
Yeah.
You're on 60 Minutes. You're out. I wish I was a lawyer.
He's saving his ass he's doing.
Don't you wish you were like just could cross-examine people like on the spot? Like you could just transform yourself. Like when he's on 60 Minutes, Tony Bosch. You could just be in the courtroom and go, he didn't say hello? Really?
Yeah, exactly.
He just walked in the door in a strip mall in Miami and said, give me what Manny had in 2008.
Yeah. He walked in. He said, attention, please. I would like to do illegal PEDs.
And the minute the guy goes, well, he did say hello, you go, so then you're not even being truthful right now. And then, boom, Tony's out.
Which, well, the way I take you saying hello is they talked probably quite a while before he finally looked over his shoulder on the park bench or wherever the fuck they were at to be like, hey, you know, did you hook up, man? I would actually bring it up like this. Hey, that Manny, he's really been playing great for a while, huh?
Yeah.
Wink, wink, nudge, wink. Nudge, yeah.
It's not like you accidentally walk into a steroid lab in a mini mall next to a fucking nail salon.
Happy now, hello. No, that's not. That's next door. Square or round?
No, I want HGH. Oh, that's next door. It's not like you accidentally stumble into the goddamn Biogenesis clinic. I'm pretty sure there's some phone calls. Yeah. Like me, I on the way here, I had to call you like, where do I turn, all that?
Right.
I'll be there in about 10 minutes. Little exchange. I want to go.
I apologize profusely.
First thing he said was, I got a text from my wife. You know what I mean?
No, the first thing you said, hey, that Joe Rogan, he's got a good podcast. How do I?
Joe Rogan.
Yeah, right out of the bat. I'm saying you're doing like the Manny Ramirez thing.
How does he go that long, Rogan's podcast? It's like some of them are, most of them are over 2 hours.
I did like a 3-hour podcast with him one time, and it was like, it's like a Scorsese movie. It flies by.
I was going to say, it's
like
never.
You walk in, it's light out. You walk out, it's dark, and it's great.
Yeah, it's like daylight savings times of podcasts. Yeah.
His is great.
And it's never like dull. It's always, it's very impressive that you, some go for like 3 hours.
And he fact checks everything as opposed to mine, which is just completely, it's just horseshit. My fact checks is other people correcting me on Twitter.
Yeah.
But
you love Twitter. And you had one of the best lines ever about Twitter on my podcast when people go, hey, Bill, what are your thoughts about the Bruins this year? It's like, I'm not your personal press conference. Yeah. Get more friends. Get more interesting friends.
No, somebody
friends.
Said be funnier on Twitter. And I said I'm not on the writing staff of your life.
Yeah.
Get some funnier friends or something.
The best thing in the world. And you won't block anybody, you told me.
Yeah, I mean, I will. Yeah, I have. But, like, you got to be, like, ridiculous. If you're just being, like, ridiculous, you know, I don't know, over-the-top racist or just being a dick for like, right now, someone's going to do it just to do it because you said it.
Yeah.
And but no, I don't. I don't read.
We challenge you to make us block you.
Oh Jesus, Dad, don't do that.
No, it's too late.
Hashtag challenge.
Hashtag block challenge. People are going
to
be sending
you pictures. I was trying to get to that Tony thing where he said,
"Oh, go ahead."
The most amazing thing into that interview, because I know you're psycho into sports like me, is that you know A-Rod sent him a text. Hey, I got a big game coming up. Blah 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 blah. And the guy gives him the little package. Little spa package of roids, and then A-Rod goes out, hits a couple of doubles and a single, has a great game. And they asked him, what did you think after you saw that game? And the guy said, this is like shooting fish in a barrel. And it's literally like how much they've – when you, it was, I'm going back to what you were talking about, the peanut butter sandwich before wrestling. How much they've figured out like steroids since we were kids when like those guys in the 70s, it was like horse tranquilizers, excuse me. And to what they do now, it's just like this perfect balance. And I have a theory. I keep saying this in my podcast. We're all going to be on them. They're going to become safe eventually. Safer and safer, like the weed breathalyzer kind of trajectory. And we're all going to be on them. Full heads of hair, fucking jacked at 80, pulling people out of cars when they cut you off.
I'm in.
Look,
I don't understand. You know, the definition of performance-enhancing drug, an antibiotic is a performance-enhancing drug. If you tear your elbow out and you're a pitcher like Andy Pettit, and then they go, well, it's going to take you a year to recover, or if you take HGH and shoot it into your elbow socket, you'll be back in 8 months in time for the playoffs. Like, you have to be a fucking idiot not to take that chance because you want to pitch in the playoffs because you're going to get another contract. So, like, what about antibiotics? Like, well, you got strep throat, you can let it run its course, or you could take this erythromycin, you'll probably be banging it out in about 10 days.
Right. And which would enhance your performance because you wouldn't be fucking sick. Correct?
Yeah, exactly. Why not just have...
Can I hear a little... Joe DeRosa requested a little Harvey Keitel. Can I hear Harvey...
What the fuck was Tony Bush thinking?
Yeah, I want to...
to give steroids to a man like that. Alex Rodriguez? He's not from this country, is he? What the fuck? Everything was fine. Manny Ramirez, there was no paper trail. None. They busted him on fucking female hormones. Then you give it to A-Rod? There's no jobs in this town, are there?
Dude, your fucking impressions.
I couldn't look you in the eye because I know you're looking at my face because you go, because when I did Colin on mine, you're like, you're doing the face. It's freaking me out. So I'm actually staring at a brick wall over your shoulder doing Keitel.
Oh, you know what's great? Like, somewhere around here was where they shot Reservoir Dogs. It doesn't exist anymore. Like, the whole, basically, the, what the fuck do you call it, where you drain the bodies and all that and you throw them in a box.
Cadavers?
What's that word? Not cadavers. The fucking place where you process dead bodies.
Morgue?
A morgue.
There you go.
There you go. They were on the loading dock. Yeah, it was somewhere in here, and it doesn't exist anymore.
We closed the loading dock down. We did so much acting. What the fuck was Joe thinking? You shot in the gut. But you don't die from your wounds. You're going to wish you were dead. But it takes days.
Dude, how do you do that?
I don't know. There's only some I can...
What do you pick up on? Because Harvey Keitel is a guy...
It's really just Colin at a different pitch.
What the fuck was... Colin's down here, you know? What the fuck was Joe thinking? That goddamn animal, you know, he turned the whole place into a shooting gallery. Bang, bang, bang. If we could just get in touch with Joe, everything was going to be all right. If we could just get in touch with Joe, everything will be all right.
No, but there's something the way you do Keitel, there's that chopping off of the word.
Are you a doctor?
How you pick that up?
I don't know. I have no idea how, and I get asked a lot. A lot of times when I put my baby to bed, I'll just sit. He wants me to sit on the couch across from his crib, and I'm like, cool. And I'll just say, okay, I'm answering questions on Twitter now. Go. And everyone's like, how do you do impressions? How do you do impressions? And it's like, I can either do them, or no, I'll get asked like, what's an impression you're working on? And I'm like, no, it's never happened in my life. I can either do it the first time I open my mouth, or I can never, ever, ever, ever do it.
Another one blew me away. You did Louis C.K.
Oh, that was, yeah. But I don't know if I'm doing the voice. I'm just a fucking guy, and I'm sitting here with shit, and fucking shit in my hand, and fucking asshole cunt kids with fucking nut allergies. Fuck them.
That fucking fucker.
Fucker with fucking shit in the mouth, and I'm a man with an asshole, and I just shit out of it and eat, and I just fill it and shit it. I'm just a fucking human being, shit, eat, person, man. But
I'm going to hang with you long enough, and eventually.
You want to do Louis?
No, you're going to end up doing me at some point.
I'll do you, okay? Okay? I'll tell you that much. New studios. Things are good, you know? Okay? Just got back from the studios. Big tour. Appreciate all you guys coming out, okay? It's all right.
Go fuck yourself.
I just tried.
I wish I could do it. I wish I could
you
do
wish
it.
You could do you? You wish you could do you?
No, I wish I could do it.
What the fuck?
Not just do the ones everybody else does, because all I'm doing is... This is why I think you're the best, because... You do, like, so many people do impressions of people's impressions. And the ones that you do, nobody else does. There's a guy, too. I'm really bad with the names. The guy who's on that, Jesus Christ, the fucking nerd show. Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
He used to be on the other show that wasn't 30 Rock that the guy from Friends did. Matthew Perry did a show called The Studio. Or
Studio 8H or something.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, but it was an Aaron Sorkin show, wasn't it?
Yeah, and this dude who's on the fucking Planet show there.
It's a show about, like, Asperger's.
I don't watch that shit.
Big Bang Theory.
I saw him. He did a Ben Stiller and he did a Tom Cruise that were fucking unbelievable.
Ben Stiller is a great Tom Cruise, too. Ben Stiller is one of the best impressionists ever. When he used to do the Ben Stiller show before Fox, when Janine Garofalo and Andy Dick and everybody was on it, when it was just Ben Stiller and this guy, Jeff Kahn.
Uh-huh.
Just those two were the Ben Stiller show, and they would do mashups. They would do like Rain Man on Star Trek.
Oh, that's awesome!
It's like who took you to space, Ray? Yeah. With the big smile. Jeff Conn would have the Spock ears and go, "Yeah, you took me to space." And you just do like all the movies. They would just mash two movies together. It was amazing.
That's a very underrated sketch show too. I feel like when people will go, you know, the greatest of all time, they'll go like Chappelle. They'll go Mr. Show. Then they jump over the Ben Stiller show, go straight to In Living Color. Then obviously SNL and
some of them,
Kids in the Hall.
Some of them age poorly and some of them don't. There's some that I watch now and I'm like, this must have been like clothing. When you watch old sitcoms and you're like, well, what the fuck was everybody wearing? I feel that way about comedy sometimes. Like old sitcoms. My wife said this to me once. She said all sitcoms, no matter how good they are, they're all orange in reruns. They're all like yellowy and weird looking.
It's hilarious.
Everyone's wearing like fucking mom jeans, and you're like, what? Like, you look at Seinfeld, and you're like, this was the greatest show in the history of television. He's got mom jeans, white sneakers, and a mullet, and like a Christmas sweater. Like, oh my God. And yeah, of course, it's a funny show.
You know what kills me? Is that show's already like some of those early episodes are already like 23 years ago, 24 years ago. Can you fucking believe that?
And it's weird. But I'm not saying the comedy's bad. I'm saying it just ages so weird. But my point was I look at comedy, sketch shows, and stand-up. When I look at old stand-up clips and if I listen to old albums, I'm like, wow, this must have been like a 1970s thing because this isn't funny at all. Like, it was just such a
thing. So who do you think holds up?
Well, Carlin and Pryor hold up, obviously.
Cosby,
yeah. My first comedy record I bought was to my brother Russell, and that whole second side was just him and his brother in the bed talking, mm-hmm. like trying to freak each other out. Like, that's hysterical. And but a lot of it just doesn't. It's weird. You watch like old Red Fox is like, you go, oh, he's just like telling jokes, like actual, like he's like Jackie the Joke Man before Jackie the Joke Man.
I got one of him.
You gotta wash your ass. Like, he's telling jokes. Like, he's not doing, he doesn't have any material that about, you know what I mean?
I have an old Red Fox one. It's him basically bombing, doing a late show, not wanting to basically be on. I don't know why. I was just going to say, I don't know why he put it out. I know what happened. He died. And then the people who were making money off of him.
Yeah.
You know that shit. When somebody dies, they just keep putting out. They put out everything. They put out all this shit. I'm always worried after somebody passes away, be it any sort of artist or whatever, where like, look, I understand a couple years after, you know what I mean? But when it starts to get like 15, a hidden gem.
The lost like really, tapes.
Hendrix didn't think that this was good enough. He didn't realize how great this was.
Yeah, the lost tapes. Bill Burr at the Albany Chuckle Hut. These are the lost, somebody's camera phone.
And it just keeps getting earlier and earlier into the artist's career.
Yeah, just you bombing on like Evening at Caroline's or Evening at the Improv.
Doing a Roger Paul gig in like Vermont.
Roger Paul.
Before they were stars.
This is Bill Burr at Millard Fillmore's Bowling Alley in Staten Island. Check him out, the chops on this guy.
Hey, when let's talk about your radio show that I listen to. I got an old truck that I drive, and it has AM radio, right? So I'm always listening. Plus, I always listen to the sports anyway, so I'm always listening to your shit, right?
Do you laugh?
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Laugh
the only,
hard.
But the only thing is sometimes I get up too late, and when all the listeners call in, that took me a while to figure out what was going on.
Rapid fire at the
yes.
end? Yes. I just have people call up and talk nonsense the last 4 minutes of the show.
Well, that worked because I was sitting there going, it took me like 3 days in a row, I woke up at the same time and I had some acting gig. So I'd get in my truck and I'd put it on and you'd be like, Ed from Oskaluska.
Shoot it.
Shoot it. Yeah, what do you got? Where can people around the country...
If you want a list of affiliates, go to jmoresports.com and just click affiliates. There's 150 affiliates. It's all over the place. Or if you have an iHeartRadio app on your phone, you can just type in jmoresports on the iHeartRadio app.
Yeah, is that a great gig or what?
It's best. I work 15 hours a week. I pass movie sets like on my drive home, and I'm like, ugh, just sitting in that fucking trailer eating donuts watching Jerry Springer.
Are they going to get to me yet?
Like, you were good in the heat. I like watching the heat. But I imagine how much time you sat in your trailer because – you know, you can't like...
No, that was a good one.
You went quick?
That
was
a good one. I've only had one. I'm not going to name the name. I can't burn bridges where I'm at. But I had one where it was just like, you got to be fucking kidding me. And it would be like, we need you on set by 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. You've eaten breakfast, lunch, and then the crew dinner, and you're still sitting there. I'm sorry, I got pushed again. And by the end, like the big challenge is when you finally get pulled out of there. And then just the whole fucking irony of it is hilarious where you're like, oh, I'm going to go out to Hollywood, get out of my little shit house and become a star. And then you go out there and you're sitting in a fucking trailer.
It's an outhouse.
Yeah, you're
with
sitting.
Indian art.
Yeah, you're sitting.
There's always like a framed photo of a teepee or like a squaw holding a baby in like a little blanket. And everybody
goes, don't drink the water. Don't brush your teeth. Bring bottled water to brush your teeth. Which basically means somehow people take pisses and shit and they filter that fucking water back.
Oh, yeah. And the poo-poo truck comes. That's what my son calls it. Sorry.
Yeah.
The shit truck comes. That's always nice when you're taking a nap in a trailer and all of a sudden you're like, did I shit my pants? Because there's just a truck. The rest of the country probably has no idea. Like, think about every porta potty you've ever seen. They have to empty them somehow. You don't pick them up and dump them out into the sink. There's just a truck with a hose that just suctions out all the piss and shit. Yeah. And when that guy hooks up to your trailer, it's great. But the thing is, too, a movie or even like a TV show that's like a 1 hour, like when I was on Ghost Whisperer, in hindsight, you're like, if ever there was a time in my life, I should have just done diamond push-ups and crunches. It's the 40 fucking hours I just
learned
sat
to speak
alone.
Language, yeah.
Yeah, I could have just sat there, Rosetta Stone, and I don't hear the knock on the door and they're waving. I'm like, je m'appelle Jay. Comment allez-vous? Très bien, merci. Like I would have spoken fluent French.
Right.
And instead, you just keep eating and eating. You know why? Because somebody just keeps walking around with food like you're at the goddamn Playboy Mansion. Like, I think they know how primal we are. Like, if they don't hand out free taquitos, you're like, fuck it, I don't want to be in show business anymore. This is bullshit. I've been here since 5 a.m. I'm wearing a prosthetic face where it looks like half my face is melted off. I'm allergic to it. My skin's, popovers.
Yeah.
And you just eat, and then that just makes you happy.
It's basically like going to the DMV with famous people.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is. You're just sitting there. And when they call your fucking name, it's the same level of excitement. Like, oh, my God.
You're exactly right, because they take the picture, and you're like, that's it.
Yeah, then you're like, oh, my God, I hope I have all the right stuff. I don't get sent back to the back of the line. It's worth the wait once they finally get going. But fortunately, I've been really lucky with the little bit of acting work that I've done that it's been on time. Like, dude, Breaking Bad was ridiculous. They just, like, you landed, you went to wardrobe, they got you your thing, you slept, you woke up the next day, bing, bang, boom, and before you knew what happened, you were on that Southwest flight like Dennis Farina in what is that fucking movie?
Remember something.
Ah, Jesus. I can't. Shrek. What the fuck was it called?
Shrek. That's it.
Smackdown. Being with an S.
That would have been funny if I didn't say it so aggressively. If I just went Shrek, yeah. I would have sounded like Ron Bennington. I would have been cool. Shrek, yeah.
What the fuck was it called? What's that movie where they... Where Brad Pitt speaks...
And Dennis Farina.
Brad Pitt speaks in the fucking pikey accent.
Dennis Farina wasn't in Snatch?
Yeah, he was.
Dennis Farina. I was thinking Dennis Franz.
Yeah, Dennis Farina.
I was thinking
the reference is already gone because they kept having him, he'd slam the shot and you're gone. Like, that's what it was like to do that one. But
I was thinking of Dennis Franz from NYPD Blue.
See,
and I'm like, I was like, what the fuck is Bill talking about?
No. I have nicknames. Me and my wife have a bunch of restaurants we like, and I just have nicknames for all of them because I can't
remember the names. Why is your memory so bad? You're not like a big pothead. You just, every once in a while, you have a couple lagers, and that's it.
I don't know what it is. I've been talking on cell phones. I don't know what it is.
Don't say that to me. Now you can freak me out. I'll be on speaker the rest
of
my life.
I can remember, like, rushing yards from 1978.
Yeah.
But I can't remember the name of the place that I, or the name of the TV show or the fucking movie I just saw.
You ever watch, like, Big Bang Theory or Friends on YouTube when they take the laughs out? On YouTube, you can watch like Big Bang Theory where they take the laugh track out.
Oh, no.
It's like a Wes Anderson movie. It's amazing.
Who's Wes Anderson?
He's a director.
Oh, sorry.
You're in the business. You want to do over? Go. Love Wes Anderson.
Can't wait to work with him. Yeah, I'm dying to work with that guy.
Like, you watch Friends without the laugh track and you're like, oh, jeez. Really the best. Because that's what you get asked, I'm sure, too. Like, if you do radio, they're like, hey, now you're in movies. What do you like doing more? Stand up? Movies? TV, you're like, what do you want me to say? I'm here to promote stand-up. Of course I want to do fucking movies the rest of my life. It's forever. But
yeah, I find them all, they're all fun, but
there's no residual check for stand-up.
Yeah, but the great thing about stand-up is it's in real time. Like the other night, I don't know, flipping through whenever I see like those one-camera shoot shows, like I hate that that's in the back of my head now. I just start thinking that that's probably 2 in the morning when they're shooting that.
Brutal. Those shows.
Yeah. They all earn their fucking money, man.
Yeah, they do. And it's just the waiting. And the thing is, those shows, I've been a guest on a bunch, like West Wing, CSI Miami. I've been on Ghost Whisperer. I've been on like a lot of, mostly a guest. But it really is a show where like you don't care if you see your family or not. And the radio show is the best because I'm done at noon every day. My kid gets out of preschool at 12:30 and I'm there waiting for him. He runs. I pick him up. I'm home in the Palisades at 1. He's asleep by 1:15. I'm asleep by 1:20. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're getting away with murder.
I don't care if I ever get my picture taken again in a camera, ever. I don't care if it's one frame or 1,000 frames. If, you know, fucking Clint Eastwood calls or something, obviously, I'm not going to turn anything down because we all want to live forever and be immortal. And the only way to do that is to actually be in film. That is the way to live forever. That is eternal life.
Is what?
Christ is one way. The blood of Christ and the word, capital W, and movies. Because 50 years from now, 50 years from now, you get a DVD and you watch The Godfather and you're like, oh, that's right, Jimmy.
What about a stand-up special?
Stand-up special too, but you're going to go, look what the fuck I was wearing. Why was I wearing a shirt with the plates on it?
Is are you not going to think that in the movie?
No, because it's of the time. Like you, when you watch movies from the, if you watch like Dog Day Afternoon, you're not like, look at these assholes. You're like, well, it was 1977. Obviously, that's how they dress. It's a movie, and the cars are from 1977. The license plates, the police uniforms, everything, every extra is dressed like that. When you watch Mad Men, you're not like, what are these people? They don't know it's 2014 with the fucking skinny ties,
right?
Like it's just of the time. It's completely eternal. That's what makes movies. That's why people come here.
So why wouldn't the stand-up special be of the time?
Because you're alone, and that's what makes us unique. And what you said was true. Stand-up is the best for guys like you and me because, and this gonna if this sounds like, you know, hokey, I don't give a shit because you know I'm telling the truth. It is actually who we are. And when you travel and you go someplace and you hit a town and you go on stage in the first 18 minutes, you're just bullshitting and riffing about your hotel and like some weird turnaround in the freeway in that town. And they're like, holy shit, he knows about that. And like you haven't even done an act. You've been on stage many, many times when you've gone like 15 minutes and you're like, well, I should probably get started in your mind.
Right.
I mean, like that's the best. I mean, that's crazy. That is the weirdest.
No, that is the best because especially if you're sick of your act.
Yeah.
Because it's really like what that would be the equivalent to somebody who actually has a real job, unlike us. That would be like somehow you show up for an hour late for work and your boss doesn't notice and you still get paid.
Anybody listening with – you're right. Anybody listening with a real job, when you go to work one day and they're like, hey, there's wings in the conference room today. And you're like, holy shit. And you just go to the conference room and eat wings and have a Diet Coke and like – no, we're all just going to take like 15 minutes, eat wings.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
It's like that's like your job. And like, oh, my God, down the hall, there's just some free shit.
That's how I ended up in this business because there was nothing better like when school, when there was a fucking snow day, that feeling of fucking euphoria, I don't have to live my life today, you know? It was just fucking great. I don't have to do any homework.
No.
There's no goddamn stress. You know my dad one time, we had a one of those random day offs, a Wednesday.
Yeah.
There was some sort of
teacher conference.
Fucking thing, and like two of them show up.
God bless them.
Right? God bless them for showing up. The rest of them went fucking skiing. We had this random Wednesday off, so he comes home. We're all jumping around and stuff. My dad, hey, what's going on? What's going on? And we're like, oh, you know, we got tomorrow off from school. We don't have to do the homework, blah, blah. And he goes, oh, no. He goes, that's not true. That's not true. Like, yeah, we know. The teacher said. He goes, no, I just heard on the radio on the way back that on the way home, they said you guys have school. They were like, no, they have a parents teacher. And he just stayed with it and just kept going, no. I heard it. And we were like, oh, what a ripoff. It was my dad. We believe him. So we went upstairs. We did our fucking homework. He didn't say shit. We go to bed. Wake up the next morning, do our paper routes. Doesn't say shit. Okay, we get up at like 6 in the morning, do these fucking paper routes. We come in. We're eating breakfast. All right. We got all our books. We're showered. We're ready to go to school. We fucking walk out the door. He doesn't say shit. We go down and stand in front of the whole fucking neighborhood, who all knows his day off, stand under this tree waiting for the bus. He finally gets in his car to go to work, drives down the end of the driveway, rolls down the window, waves at us, and drives to work and left us there.
And wait, how long did you wait for the bus?
Till a fucking neighbor drove by with their kids. Like, the bus usually
they're going
came.
To a water park.
I don't know where they were going, but they were going like, you know, there's no school. And then we were like, oh, our dad said there was school. So it made us all look like idiots. I remember calling up my dad. It's the first time I used the F word, and he didn't care. He was laughing so hard. He had this laugh like, like dying fucking laughing as we were wow, man. I can't believe he didn't fucking – that is the funniest shit ever. That's such a stand-up – that's I'm telling you, that's how I ended up being a comedian because right there, like any other parent – would just have to look at their kid and be like, all right, man, get back in the fucking house. But a comedian drives away and leaves you there.
Waves.
It's like, as the years go by, the genius of it, it pissed me off when he did it, but that's the funniest shit.
He was like Andy Kaufman.
Dude, he made his own kids look like we had something wrong with us, like we were morons.
We were going to school. There's no, and then they put you in the position of like someone saying there's no school, and now you got to like on the fly go, well, is my dad lying or is my dad wrong? So you got to defend your dad's honor, but hope he's wrong at the same time. Like you're all mixed up.
I just can't imagine the neighbors just going like, how the fuck did they not know?
Mr. Burr, I saw your son on the bus stop with all his books.
Your dad just laughing. That's great. And you're right. That's what separates it. But that's why you wanted to be a comic, because of snow days.
My dad.
You didn't want to live your life. And that's what you just said is everything that comedy in one sentence. I wanted to be a comic because I didn't want to do real life.
Because I didn't want to work.
It's the best.
I have no desire. That's why I haven't had guests on my fucking podcast, because I just looked at it like, man, that's going to be work. I got to give them the right directions if they get the wrong fucking – all that bullshit that just happened there.
You didn't have to give me the right directions. Right? I was in fucking Chino. Like, who does your fucking maps? Way to go. Google Maps told me I was at the location. It was a goddamn hospital.
Here's another classic one of my dad. My brother was – it was some hot chick down the street, and she had this fucking she had this house party, like one of those risky ones where, hey, the parents are like, yeah, we're leaving. We'll be back in an hour and fucking 10 minutes. And they try to have a party.
Yeah.
It was more like, you know, 3 hours, whatever. They come home early. And somehow my brother's looked upon as the ringleader, and he's running out of the house. And the guy knows who he is. My brother's drunk, tells him to fuck off and all that shit. So he knows. So my brother runs home.
First grade.
He runs home. He's like in high school at this point. He runs home. And as he's coming up the house, he's too shit-faced. He sees my parents, you know, the lights are on. I can't go in the house. So he's so drunk, he literally just fucking face plants in the shrubs behind our house right by the side door. And he hears the phone ring, and he knows who it is. And it's the fucking dad down the street calling up about my drunk brother. And my dad picks up the phone, and he just goes, hello. And he hears the guy talking. All the, what are you talking about? And my dad just says, that's not true. That's not true. I just talked to him. He just starts covering for my brother. He was sober. He was so, no, sir. And he gets in this big argument with the guy. And my brother's laying on his back in the mulch, laughing his ass off. And then just going like, what a fucking great guy. Like totally covered for my brother.
What was your dad's name?
Huh? I don't put all that shit. Oh, okay. There and everything,
this guy's a legend.
Yeah, he just doesn't. He does. He would.
I just spoke to him. How dare you?
Yeah, and so that became a catchphrase. Between all the kids, whenever we would disagree with you, you just go, no, sir. No, sir. Because that's what he was doing as this guy was saying.
Did your
like,
brother still get in trouble, though, from your dad? Or was your dad just like, boys will be boys?
No, I think he then just sat down. Dude, I got a bunch of classic ones. There was one time, God, how do I say this? I'll get in my brother in trouble. Oh, the statute of limitations. My brother, maybe or maybe not.
It's already great.
Vandalized. This is another brother. Vandalized part of the school. So
I think you're going to go into like rape. No, I don't know. Statute of limitations, man.
No. I'm
he
just
may
saying.
Or may not have dented a
hey,
locker.
Hey, look, I come from this family tree. You keep your fucking mouth shut no matter what. So anyways.
Don't talk to Tony.
Don't talk to Tony. Tony's got a big fucking mouth. We're going to handle that problem down there in Florida. So whatever. They knew he did it. And him and his friends somehow intimidated his entire grade to not rat them out. So they went down to the principal's office, and the principal's office going, I know you did it. And he's trying to yell at him, blah, blah, blah. And they just sat there stone-faced going, no, we didn't do it. We didn't do it. Then they did the old, they separated. And then he's yelling at my brother, you did it. And my brother's like, I didn't do it. Oh, yeah? Well, your friend in there just dropped dime on you. And my brother didn't fall for it or anything. So finally, the last-ditch effort, the next day my brother gets up. He's going to school. And the principal calls my dad. My dad picks up the phone. He's like, hello. And it's funny because he liked old stuff. So we had this old, like, it was a new phone inside. But on the outside, it's literally you hold the thing up to your ear. My dad's on
hello,
this
Hello, Mrs. Douglas.
So my dad's on the phone, picks it up. He's like, hello. He goes, this is he. Okay. All right. And he goes, what do you mean you know he did it, but you can't prove it? And then you hear the guy talking. My dad goes, oh, Christ, I don't have time for this shit. And he just fucking hung up on the guy. And my brother drove out. He went to work. My brother said he got on the bus. He was in junior high. And when he pulled up to the school, the principal was standing outside of the school, like rubbing his forehead because he was beat.
I had no such willpower whatsoever. I'll never do time because I'll roll on the whole neighborhood. First time they asked me, I'll be like, it was Bill Burr. Bill Burr did it. We were at we were at a bar in New Jersey. When we were kids, right. we would have rolled on each other. And then as you get older, like when I moved to Manhattan, I lived on West 43rd Street, and it was all like Westies and all. Like the fire station, you realize, isn't only a fire station.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, hey, JJ, you going down, where are you going, your manager's office? Will you drop this package off for me? I don't know why they have Boston accents on West 43rd Street. And I'm like, sure. And then you come back like 2 hours later and they're like, JJ, do that thing with the package? You're like, yeah. And they're like, what was in it? And you're like, oh, I don't know. I didn't open it. And they're like, yeah, good job, good job. So I go back to Jersey and I remember actually, I was a senior in high school when we realized, like, oh, like, don't – you don't tell. Like, it took – we were idiots. Nobody wanted to get in trouble because we were really, like, fucking pussies. And then I played baseball in high school, and the baseball coach was the lieutenant from – there's one lieutenant – excuse me, detective. There's one detective in my town because it's such a small town. It's like 1,000 people in my town. Doug Huber. And he was a detective, and he was a great guy, and he coached our baseball team in high school. Mm-hmm. And then we all would go to the Verona Inn and drink, and we were all underage. And some guy came from, like, Cedar Grove, which is, like, the arch rival, and they just fucking beat the shit out of him. Someone stabbed him with, like, a pocket knife in his legs. Jeez, and Doug Huber came in and goes, what happened here? And everybody said, everybody, like, the bar owner, the grown-ups, and, like, the teenagers all said, I was in the bathroom. And I remember, like, going, holy shit. And, like, the revelation at that moment to realize – this will actually work if we all just hold the company line. Like, it was the first time. And I'm like a senior in high school. And then Doug Huber gets me alone. He goes, I've known you a long time, JJ. Just tell me what I go, I was in the bathroom, Doug. And he goes, who's in the bathroom with you? I said, I was in the bathroom. And then he literally, like, broke it down, like, person to person to person. And goes, how long were you in the bathroom? And you go, I don't know. I was in the bathroom. Like, this shit went on. We were there until, like, the sun came up in this bar. And then 6 months go by. We're playing tournament baseball, and I think we were at West Essex High School playing baseball, and I'm hitting leadoff. And I hit a leadoff double, and Doug Huber, the detective who's also the coach of the baseball team, goes, time, time. And he just starts jogging out towards, like, the third baseline. We're in the visitor dugout, and he goes, JJ. And I'm like, all right, I guess we're switching the signs up. He goes, when do you go have a seat? And he's like, I don't know, Joe Morton, go, you know. He switches out, and there's a new guy in second base. I'm just sitting on the bench like, I don't even know what the fuck just happened. Right. So, like, 3 innings go by. I go, coach. And he goes, yeah, how you doing? I go, why did you pull me? He goes, I don't know. I was in the bathroom. Fucking 6 months that guy sat on that shit. And that was the only way he could get it.
Did you laugh?
No, because I got real. Because by then I'd forgotten the whole thing happened. And I thought, like, oh, like, I thought then.
I got scared.
Yeah, I was a scared kid. I was alone a lot. Nobody ever told me shit. Had brothers. At least to go like, no, that's not what you do. You go up to the guy and tell him, watch your fucking mouth when you're around my sister or whatever like that.
No,
I was just alone on my bike. And you know what I would do? I'd take my bike 2 towns over because nobody knew who I was. And I could just recreate a new identity. Like, hi, I'm Mike Majors. I just moved. And they're like, which house? And I'd be like, ah, right around. I'd be like De Niro and Goodfellas. No, right in there. That's my house, right in there. And I would just make up, like, some new identity for the day and play with new kids.
Mike Majors.
But no. That was my fake name.
No, believe me, dude. Like I said, I stopped fighting, getting into fights like somewhere sixth grade, maybe seventh grade. The kids were just way too big, and I totally got psyched out and intimidated right quickly after elementary school, and I went more to the funny thing.
I fought more. Like, my dad never taught me to fight. He always said, tell the teacher, and he didn't realize, like, tell the teacher? Are you out of your fucking mind?
Which is the responsible as far as, like, and, you know, kid, you don't want to tell a kid to beat the shit out of another kid.
You tell a 4-year-old, tell the teacher. You tell a 12-year-old, let's go down in the basement. You lead with the jab, circle away from the power hand, and then the cross right. You just got to end this because it's never going to end.
But what they always forget, like, how much how that's going to reflect on you. And then they always just say, well, you shouldn't care what people think about you.
Is it true? And then no. Well, if it's not true, it shouldn't bother you.
Yeah. Then he's not a real friend of yours, and then they just send you into this fucking gauntlet. And even if it's not that bad and ass kicking, it's the fact that it's your entire life
and shame
that it's your existence. That, you know, it's like, yeah, mom, how would you like if you went to work and got the shit kicked out of you every day? Well, they're just not your real friends, mom. Take a different way to your cubicle, you know.
None of us knew we could fight. When I was a junior in high school, we were in the wrestling room, and there was this kid Pete Bush who was pretty much an albino. Like, I don't have the card that anybody signed off on it.
Right.
But he was pretty much an albino, and he had like thick, like glasses all day long. But on the mat,
poor bastard.
The guy was a fucking savage animal. And yet, no, you know what? He couldn't have been an albino because he got accepted to West Point. I'm pretty sure albino would not accept an albino. I'm pretty sure West Point has a no albinos policy. Sorry.
Actually, but he looked like one. I've never seen one. I've never seen an albino.
I don't think you can be out in
that. They at least don't, when the president shows up, he's not part of that line that's standing at attention,
no,
flipping the guns around.
Never. No, I don't think you can be an albino at West Point. So
they got him up in the tower.
But he looked like, yeah, that's where he needs to be. Shaded. He looked like an albino, and he was like a weird guy. He didn't really talk. He was like he was a genius. He got accepted to West Point, and then one day, like, this big fucking football guy was just henpecking the shit out of him. And Pete Bush wrestled like 118 pounds, and his other kid was like 220. And Pete Bush turned around, shot a double leg, took the guy's legs out from under him, and then just sat on his chest like da 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 da, just punched the shit out of him. And we were all like laughing, like, did you fucking see what Pete Bush did? Like, how lucky he got, how funny it was. And we thought it was funny. And our wrestling coach, Jim Sauer, goes, you guys think that's funny? You guys don't even know what you've been doing in here your whole lives? Learn how to fight? Are you fucking idiots? What do you think? Some fucking big fat offensive tackle is going to take out a guy that's been practicing takedowns for the last 8 years? Get your heads out of your asses. Like, he screamed at us. He goes, of course he knows how to fight. He's a fucking wrestler. And he was like cursing like that for the, and we're all like at that moment, we're all like, holy shit. Like, you can use these takedowns like out there. I thought it was just on a mat and like
yeah, your whole thing is
in a queer singlet.
Yeah. You meet some guy in a mall who wants to go at it and you punk out and give him your wallet. But if there was a mat, you'd be like, all right. And you have your little earmuff things on. So you don't.
Yeah. But all fights, what you're saying is true, but all fights and MMA, like, it all winds up on the ground. If you're in a fight in a parking lot between two parked cars, I'm sorry. If I get you to a knee, that shit is over. I don't care how fucking big you are. Unless you wrestle too, then you probably beat me up.
That's why I have just fury. I go for about 18 seconds and then you got me. Then I'm wheezing, giving you everything.
How do you get the fury though? You think? When do you let it go? Let it go. Okay.
What?
When do you let it? Like, why do you? Like, you were assuming that I was screaming at my windshield because you gave me directions to a separate town. I was literally.
Standard that you would flip. Yeah, I'd be coming over in the middle of the fucking day for your fucking podcast. You don't even know where the fuck your address is.
Who gives a flip? Who cares?
Your time isn't valuable.
Yeah, but I'll be out of here in fucking 10 minutes and I'll drive home and I'll be with my kids.
I don't know. That's how people responded to adversity when I was a kid. You basically lost your shit. You called people
names.
But
then you realized they're alcoholics.
You screamed at inanimate objects.
Yeah, but then you realize those people are alcoholics.
Jay, aren't we all works in progress?
Yes. Yeah, man is God in ruin.
Was that what? Ugh.
I don't know.
Maybe you want to fucking slap those headphones off your fucking head.
Fucking come over the table, smart guy.
I'll get on one knee and do it.
You know what? I'll get on both knees. I'll start on my fucking back, you fucking stuttering prick. Yeah, Bill actually sent me to another town. Here's the address, Jay. Glendale. Turns out it's not Glendale
at all.
It's not
Glendale.
Yeah, it turns out it's not Glendale at all. There you go. I don't know where I don't even know what town this is.
No, come on, keep doing more, Norm.
All right, I got Chicago Cubs there, you know, they got a new mascot. Have you heard about this new mascot they got there? You heard about that mascot they got?
No, what about him?
His name is Clark. Is a true, you know. And it's a baby cub with his head on backwards. And he greets fans when they come in, you know. A baby cub. And those cubs got a new mascot. Yeah, they should get a bear tamer. One of those lion guys, you know. You like take care of those cubs there. I don't know what a baby cub, how good a mascot that would be, you know. I don't know. If that was a mascot, maybe a lion tamer with a chair, you know.
Can I hear some Harvey Keitel doing bad 80s stand-up?
All right.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, I like it.
I just know you
it's
can
a fun
do
game.
It.
I dig it.
I know
it.
You can do it.
Okay. I'm just rifling through, but I got to make sure I don't do someone's actual material. That's the part. It's because we all have like fucking 18 minutes of David Brenner. Isn't it weird when the vending machine takes up so much noise? No, it's not. It's a fucking vending machine. All right. Don't get me started on the girls. What are you supposed to do? You go and ask her out. You look your best. You shaved. You've combed your hair. You presented yourself. She says no. Then all of a sudden, you have to act
like you were trying to act her out, ask her out in the first place. You go, I'm sorry. There was a clock over your head. I was trying to find out what time it was. What do you think, I wanted a goddamn date? You're not that important. Get over yourself. Right now I'm wearing mom jeans and a suit jacket with the sleeves rolled up. What the fuck is the airline thinking? Why don't you tell me the local time? The flight attendant comes out. She's rolling a cart. I have to stay in my seatbelt. Meanwhile, there's bottles of gin.
Sorry. I slipped into Colin.
You know, I have to say seatbelted in. But meanwhile, she has a rolling cart with bottles of gin flying all over the place and loose ice. I don't know. That seemed a little incongruous to me. All right? That was Bill Burquin. All right? All right.
All right, dude, my face is
Let's do more viewer letters. That's always good, Bill, when you do that on the podcast. That's why I subscribe to Bill Burr, to hear what other people want to think. It's the Bill Burr podcast. Who cares what Jesse in Fontana is emailing you about? Who cares?
Dude, my face is literally killing me from fucking
Mine
smiling.
Does, too. Do you see how I have to contort to do that stupid Keitel voice?
All right, well, what do you got coming up here that we can hype here?
When will this be out, honey?
I'm going to
fucking Monday?
I know. Well,
Monday morning.
I do them. These ones, I just put them out.
Oh.
When they're done. Oh, it's even before you get home there.
Only one impression I've ever learned was Pacino.
Let me hear that. Let me hear that.
Never could do it. And then, because there's two different Pacinos, and my mind was all fucked up which one. Because young Pacino sounds like Tyne Daly from Cagney and Lacey. No, sir. We're Vietnam veterans. Killing don't mean nothing to us. Attica!
Right.
Put the gun down! N.E.W., we play all the hits when he answers the phone and fucking talk the afternoon. I can't promise you that. I got to talk to my boss. If you have a boss, why am I talking to you, huh? And then, I don't know when it was, somewhere around Heat. Oh, everything got real heavy on my back. And my eyes got real big, Bill.
Dude,
you worked with me.
That's fucking believable.
See, I don't even think this one's that good. But I worked with Al on a movie that no one saw, but we still did the work. You know what he said to me? I'll tell you. We were outside, and he looked at the sky. This is a true story, but I'm going to do it as him. Because it was a break while we were shooting, and he looked up at the moon, and he put his arm around me. And he looked at the sky, and he said, "That's our moon, babe." That's what he said. Now, I say that to my kids, and if you and I left here and the moon was out, I'd say it to you, Bill Burr. I love you.
That's fucking
You're ugly. A good man. Al, I think what you're trying to say is Jay Moore had an interesting experience with you. Who the fuck taught you to act, you cunt? I don't even know what everybody's arguing about. You know, I had like four movies going on at once.
Dude,
I think everybody should make love and make one big acting pregnant baby. That's full circle, Bill Burr. I'm at the Irvine Improv this weekend, 17, 18, 19, but if this doesn't come out before then, Vegas.
It'll come out before. Listen, you got to go see Jay do stand-up, man. Last time we worked together, we did the fucking thing, the April Foolishness.
I love it.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Yeah, you absolutely fucking destroyed.
It's so hard to do 20 minutes. So you just wind up doing your act as quickly as possible. And I got to follow Brad Williams every year.
Because they gradually get drunker and drunker as you're doing it. But it's such a legendary. You know that venue.
Did you go on last?
I think the last time I did.
One time I did it, No, he didn't go on last.
That last one is brutal. Then they go, you know who had the set of the night? Yeah, the guy who went on fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course he did. When they were sober 3 hours
earlier.
You
went on last 1 year, and then Eddie Izzard went on last another year, and it's just a horrible spot. You're right.
Because
it's Universal Amphitheater. But I'll be at the Irvine Improv this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, and Sunday. All my shows are meet and greets. Have that $20 ready, because I'll be selling T-shirts out there like a hooah.
There you go.
And then 24th, 25th, 26th, if that's the weekend after next, I'm at South Point Casino in Las Vegas. And you can listen to More Stories podcast and get the More Stories app. And you're due to come back.
Jay Moore's. And I used to watch you all the time when I first moved to New York in the now defunct, now wine bar It was
Boston Comedy Club, man. Run by Barry Katz.
Big star. You're a big star.
You know what's great about you, Bill, is no matter what life has thrown at you, you've always been undeniable.
You're a big
star. Life throws you a curveball out of the strike zone. You let it go. You don't care. And that's what's going to put you over the edge, man. And then all of a sudden you're in a Sandra Bullock movie and you're going, what the fuck, man? When did we get to eat again? If that guy would get more famous, I'd have another 20 minutes of material.
He used to, yeah, we used to always go, this is Barry returning your phone call from the Carter administration. And he always used that joke. And after a while, it's like, Barry, you never return my phone calls. At least come up with
a
different.
I don't. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, he would do that shit. Listen, you're going to be a big star. Everything's going to work out. I have to.
Everything's great, right, man. Right, what the fuck you worried? Hey, Papa, it's Barry.
You have all the power, man.
Barry called me once, and he goes, you know when movies have been out for like 3 months and there's no way they're still in the theaters? Like, I couldn't get a hold of this fucking guy for like 8 days, and he's still my manager. And I go, you have to fucking call me or I'm firing you. Like, 3 minutes later, my phone rings, and I don't answer it because I just want to hear the message. He goes, hey, JJ, it's Barry. Just got back from the movies. Saw Bendit Like Beckham. Feel good movie. That was, but it hadn't been in the theaters for like fucking 6 months. He just picked like a movie. Like he had his alibi. It was all fucking sketchy. Bendit Like Beckham. Feel good movie. Man.
One of the great characters in this fucking business.
Ever.
Without a doubt. Barry fucking Katz. Well, listen, dude, I'm glad we finally got to be able
fun.
To...
And I don't give a shit about all that traffic and all whatever.
I apologize.
I don't care at all.
It was embarrassing.
Who
wasn't,
cares?
Wasn't professional.
Why do you care about any of this stuff?
Because,
look what we do.
Because I believe in the network.
Look,
The All Things Comedy Network, everybody. featuring Jay Moore here, the Monday Morning Podcast. This was a very special episode. I hope we made you laugh. I hope we got you over your hump day. What is today, Tuesday?
Today's Tuesday.
All right, hump day's tomorrow, whatever.
You know,
you guys enjoy
Hump Day's every day in my house, Bill Burr, finger fucking on the handball courts. Oh, okay.
All right, guys.